Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
You know, in the Bible, there is an expression, God was with him. You know, the outstanding testimony of some of the men in the Bible is that one statement, God was with him. So today, we're going to see what each of the following men was able to accomplish because God was with him. Now, this is not an exhaustive list, but this is most of them. And our hope is that hearing these testimonies will be a great source of encouragement to you. When you see what God did in the lives of some men that he was with, it should stir your heart to believe that God can take care of the things he wants you to do when he's with you. Take, for instance, Isaac in Genesis chapter 26. Isaac in Genesis chapter 26. And look at verse 28. The Bible says, they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee. Now you say, what is the context? The context is Abimelech. Isaac is in Gerar. He has increased a hundredfold from what he sowed in 1 year because the Lord blessed him. The Philistines envied him, and they began to stop up wells to make him go. Abimelech said to Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. So the herdmen of Gerar were striving with Isaac's herdmen as he moved further and further away, and finally was able to get water in a well where they did not strive with him at Rehoboth. The Lord appeared to him in verse 24 of Genesis 26 and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. You know, Isaac's testimony here is the testimony of provision and protection in the midst of his enemies. Abimelech wanted him out. The herdmen wanted him out. And yet God provided for him and God protected him in the midst of his enemies. The world is the enemy of God. And you and I live in the world. And the world hates true Christians. A lot of Christians, professing Christians today, are so much like the world. The world doesn't mind. The world tolerates Christians like that. But when you really take a stand for the Lord, the world hates you. That's what the Lord said they would do to you. But you do not need to compromise with the world in order to have provision and protection when God is with you. I believe, for instance, that in a lot of churches today, the churches have compromised with the world in order to continue to see the money coming in, and they quit trusting God for his provision and his protection. You do not have to do that when God is with you. And Isaac is the testimony of that very kind of provision and protection God will give his men when he's with them. Turn to Genesis chapter 39 and look at verse 3. This is Joseph. Genesis chapter 39 and look at verse 3. Joseph was taken as a slave, sold as a slave. Potiphar was his master. And in verse 3 of Genesis 39, his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. When Stephen is preaching about Joseph in Acts chapter 7, Stephen said this in verse 9. The patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. God was with him in Potiphar's house. He was with him in prison. He was with him when he became the second ruler in Egypt. Joseph is the testimony of acceptance and favor in the midst of family rejection. Joseph found favor with his master and with the warden in Egypt at a time when he had been rejected by his family. Now, let me explain something to you. When you get saved and your family's not saved, if your family rejects you because of your love for Jesus Christ and because of your service to Jesus Christ, don't quit on God. God is with you. You have acceptance and you have favor with him and his family. I remember as a young man telling my family about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I wasn't well received, not back in those days, with that kind of testimony. And I tell you what, I, like a turtle, brought my head back into the shell and just did not want to be Christian at all in their presence. Matter of fact, I went the other way for a long period of time. May I tell you something? When God is with you, you have acceptance with the Lord and with his family. You have favor with God and with his family. And if your family rejects you for your stand with the Lord Jesus Christ, stand with God, like Joseph did. Here's another one. 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 20. We're dealing with these chronologically in terms of their appearance in the Bible, but sometimes their references are not chronological. 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 20, we find out about Phinehas. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, was the ruler over them in time past, and the Lord was with him. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, did a very wonderful thing for the Lord in Numbers chapter 35. Balaam had told the Midianite king, Balak, how to corrupt the Jews because he couldn't curse them. And that was, he was going to get them involved in their idolatry and in fornication. And so the Jews fell for that. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, in Numbers chapter 25, verse 7, saw an Israelite bring a Midianitish woman into the sight of Moses, the sight of all the congregation, and brought her to before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And it was fornication and idolatry going on. Phinehas took a javelin in his hand and killed them. Now, they were high-profile people. The name of the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain with the Midianitish woman, was Zimri, the son of Salu, a prince of a chief house among the Simeonites. That's Numbers 25:14. And the name of the Midianitish woman that was slain was Cosby, the daughter of Zur. He was head over a people and a chief house in Midian. So these are very high-profile young people that he kills. I mean, one is the son of the prince of a chief house among the Simeonites, and the other is the daughter of the head of the people and of a chief house in Midian. Phinehas said, "Doesn't make a difference who they are. I'm no respecter of persons." You know what his testimony is? His testimony is the testimony of standing for God in the midst of wicked friends. Phinehas killed two high-profile people who were defying God in their sin. He didn't fear reprisal, and he didn't respect persons because God was with him. Let me tell you something. You do not need to fear when you take a stand against your friends in their sin when God is with you. How many times young Christians are around their friends and all of a sudden there's cursing, there's pornography, there's beer drinking, there's other stuff going on, maybe some dope comes out, and they pull their little heads in like a turtle, and they're not going to take a stand. Remember Phinehas, when God is with you, you can take a stand for God in the midst of wicked friends. You can just walk out and tell them, "I will not participate in this sin with you. I'm out of here. God was with Isaac, the testimony of provision and protection in the midst of his enemies. God was with Joseph, the testimony of acceptance and favor in the midst of family rejection. God was with Phinehas, the testimony of standing for God in the midst of wicked friends. I'll show you another one. Joshua chapter 6, verse 27. Joshua chapter 6, verse 27. Of course, this is Joshua. The Bible said, "So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country." God, the Lord was with Joshua. You know what this is? This is right after the Battle of Jericho. Joshua's is the testimony of a mighty victory for the Lord in the face of a superior enemy. Joshua and Israel defeated a stronger foe in a walled city by a miracle from the Lord. Now, you know something? You can win victories in your battles against your superior enemies. You say, who are my superior enemies? The world. It's much bigger than you are, been around longer than you have, very wise on how to deal with Christians. The flesh, sin working in your flesh, started with Adam and Eve, has got 6,000 years of experience to your however old you are, and sin really knows how to wreak havoc in your life. And the devil, who is the greatest opponent to God, the deceiver of the whole world. Now let me tell you something. When God is with you, you can win victories in your battles against your superior enemies. Joshua and Israel were able to defeat Jericho by a miracle of God because God was with him. So often when people are trying to deal with sin in the flesh, they're trying to deal with it in carnal weapons. You cannot. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. When you take the armor of God to stand against the wiles of the devil, he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You see? So remember Joshua's testimony. God was with him. Look again in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 19. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 19. Here's another one. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 19. This is Samuel, of course, and he's been now taken to the temple by his, or to the tabernacle by his mother, Hannah, and given to the Lord. And now he's working for Eli. Eli is a very wicked priest, and he's got wicked sons. And the Lord comes to Samuel, and when the Lord first comes to him, he says, let me tell you what I'm going to do. And he said, I'm going to perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. What he said he's going to do is basically destroy Eli's house. Okay? Now, Samuel went back to sleep, or lay there, if he didn't go back to sleep, scared to death to show Eli the vision. And when Eli called Samuel, he said, what did the Lord say? And don't you hold back a thing. So, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 18 says, Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. Verse 19, watch it. Samuel grew and the Lord was with him. Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and did let none of his words fall to the ground. First test God gave Samuel was an opportunity to put his finger in Eli's nose and tell him, you know what God said? He said he's going to destroy you and destroy your family and destroy your house forever, and gave the specifics. I'm just summarizing. You know what Samuel is? He's the testimony of preaching the negative truth of God's words to a sinner living in disobedience to God's words. And that's not easy to do because you know they don't want to hear it. Now, when you reprove a scorner, you get yourself shame, you get a blot, but hey, at first, when you're not sure whether they're a scorner or not, you got to stand up, you got to proclaim the truth of God's words, and then you got to let it fall where it's going to. Samuel told Eli of God's destruction of his house, even though he was afraid to tell him. Here's the encouragement for you and me. You and I do not need to fear testifying to sinners of the Lord's judgment against them when the Lord is with you. I'm going to tell you, honestly, these big popular preachers today will not preach the negative truths of God. And this world is desperately in need of preachers who can point out the iniquity and cause them to turn from sin to righteousness, from Satan to the Lord, from darkness to light. But they don't want to say anything about it. So don't take your lesson from them. Take your lesson from Samuel, who preached the negative truth of God's words to a sinner living in disobedience to God's words. And recognize that when God is with you, you don't need to fear testifying to sinners of the Lord's judgment against them when the Lord's with you. That's Samuel. How about this one? David. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 14. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 14. David, the great king of Israel. Verse 14. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Keep that phrase in mind. The Lord was with him. God was with him. Now that's when Saul had cast a javelin to try to kill David. So what is David? David is the testimony of the rise of a young man to great service for the Lord in the midst of opposition from the government. Saul was the government. He's the king. And Saul did everything in his power that he possibly could to keep David from ascending to the throne. He tried to kill him, and he had armies go after him. He tried to turn his own son Jonathan against him. And in spite of all that, David became the king. Now today people get shaky as they see the government's opposition to God's will to some degree. And let me just say this. You do not need to fear a government opposed to God's will when God is with you. In Acts chapter 4, the high priest, the elders, the chief priests were opposed to the disciples preaching in the name of the Lord and told them, you cannot preach in Jesus' name, in this name. They wouldn't even mention the name, just you cannot preach in this name. John answered and said in Acts chapter 4, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Acts chapter 5, they had another run-in with them, and Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now, you need to remember something, because God's not preaching and never did preach subversive acts against the government. Peter said, you must still honor the king. Fear God, honor the king. So you got to keep that stuff in balance. But the truth of the matter is, there are people who quit preaching in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and quit praying in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ because they said the government said we can't do that. And I'm telling you, when God is with you, you do not need to fear a government opposed to God's will. Can they hurt you? Sure. When it becomes tyrannical, you die. In the days of the Inquisition, they died as martyrs. But when God's with you, you don't fear. You do God's will while you honor the king. You see, as you look back through history and you see the martyrdom of Christians and under Nero, for instance, those Christians stood there in the Colosseum waiting to be devoured by the lions, killed by the lions. And they didn't scream, they didn't holler, they didn't fuss, they didn't accuse, they weren't subversive. They simply lived the life that God showed them to live until the government extinguished their lives. And they didn't rail on the government. Why? But they didn't fear. And you know what they're going to be? They're going to be kings and priests with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know where Nero is today? In hell. Do you understand that? David is the testimony of the rise of a young man to great service for the Lord in the midst of opposition from the government. The Spirit of God left Saul and came on David. David went up, Saul went down. Very interesting, very, very great testimony. Because the Lord was with him. Here's another one. Asa. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 9. The Bible says, "He, that is Asa, gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh, and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance, when they saw that the Lord his God was with him." The Lord his God was with him. Asa is the testimony of a king who turned his nation back to the Lord in the wake of national apostasy. When you read 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, you see that Judah had turned away from God. They were without a teaching priest. They were without the true God. They were without law. And there were nations fighting against each other. God was vexing them with all adversity. And you know something? When a prophet prophesied, Asa took courage and put away abominable idols out of all the land of Judah, renewed the altar of the Lord, and even got rid of the Sodomites. Asa turned his country back from sodomy and idolatry. Now, you know what? A president of the United States, legislators in this country, do not need to fear returning this country back to its biblical roots when God is with them. They don't need to fear that. They do now. You see that because this judicial stuff and all that, they keep vacillating back and away from it. But the Bible says for us to pray for them that are in authority, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. That's what we're supposed to do. With this, God is well pleased. Pray for your men and women in positions of leadership in the legislature, in the judiciary, even in the executive office. Why? Asa, the Lord was with him, and he turned his country back. The king of Nineveh turned that wicked country facing destruction back toward the Lord. And the Lord spared them, at least for a period of time. Jehoshaphat is another one. 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 3. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat is the testimony of a strong national defense in the midst of a country afraid to trust God. The country was still afraid to trust the Lord, and three armies came against Jehoshaphat, and he feared the Lord. And you know what God did? God intervened and fought a battle for Jehoshaphat, defended Israel against three armies, and Israel did not even need to fight. You know something? Our country could trust God to defend us when God is with us. That's why it's so devastating to see this country turn its back on God. Hezekiah faced the same thing in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 7. The Lord was with him and turned back the Assyrians, killed 185,000 elite Syrian soldiers to protect Judah. Jehoshaphat and Hezekiah are very much the same there. This testimony of a strong national defense in the midst of a country afraid to trust God. And then there's John the Baptist in Luke chapter 1, verse 66, and the Lord was with him. John the Baptist is the testimony of a strong preacher raised up by God to prepare a rebellious nation for the Lord. The Bible says about John the Baptist, all they that heard him laid them up in their hearts, saying, what a manner of child is this, shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. This happened when John the Baptist was just a child. Listen, John the Baptist came to a wicked and adulterous nation to prepare the way for the Lord. What started with him continues today in worldwide preaching of the gospel. Now listen, if you are called by God to preach, you do not need to be afraid to answer the call when God is with you. He may be preparing you to do a great thing for him. And John the Baptist is that testimony. And then, of course, there's Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. The Lord was with him, obviously. But the Bible even says so in those words. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, "Now God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." Jesus Christ is the testimony of the Son of God, who did good by the power of the Holy Ghost in the midst of a nation who rejected him. Jesus accomplished the ministry that God gave him in spite of the fact that the people to whom he ministered betrayed him, deserted him, and rejected him. You know what I learned by this? The ministry is not a popularity contest. The Bible says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." But may I tell you something? You can endure any hardship for Christ to finish your course when God is with you. Now, for God to be with you, you got to be saved. And if you're not saved, you need to get saved. You need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But then after that, you must find the Lord's will and live in that will. As the Lord directs you and you know that He is with you, then you can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. Just like Isaac, the testimony of provision and protection in the midst of his enemies. Or Joseph, the testimony of acceptance and favor in the midst of family rejection. Or Phinehas, the testimony of standing for God in the midst of wicked friends. Or Joshua, the testimony of a mighty victory for the Lord in the face of a superior enemy. Or Samuel, the testimony of preaching the negative truth of God's words to a sinner living in disobedience to God's words. Or David, the testimony of the rise of a young man to great service for the Lord in the midst of opposition from the government. Or Asa, the testimony of a king in government who turned his nation back to the Lord in the wake of national apostasy. Or Jehoshaphat, who showed the testimony of strong national defense in the Lord in the midst of a country afraid to trust God. Or John the Baptist, the testimony of a strong preacher raised up by God to prepare a rebellious nation for the Lord. And the testimony of Jesus Christ, who did good by the power of the Holy Ghost in the midst of a nation who rejected him. May I tell you something? I pray to God that you are encouraged. God is with you. And these men, I pray, encourage you to do His will in your life. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.